Welcome back to Understanding VC. I am your host Rahul. My guest today is Do Bui. Do is a founding partner and CEO of ThinkZone Ventures, Vietnam's largest local resource venture fund with $60 million in fund size, investing in technology startups from pre-seed to Series A in various verticals. Before founding ThinkZone, Do had more than 11 years of experience in startup and startup support activities in the field of technology and has also operated as a C-level leader in many large companies. Now let's talk to him. Hi, Do. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Rahul.
I recently visited Vietnam. So I went to Sapa. I landed in Hanoi and then took an overnight bus. So I know you're based in Hanoi. Did you grow up in Hanoi?
No, I came to Hanoi from, since I studied in university. I was born in a province in near Hanoi. It's named Thái Bình. It's a province that a lot of people working in agriculture.
So it's mostly like a rural area where people are doing farming. So I spoke to four other VCs on this podcast from Vietnam, and all of them are based in Ho Chi Minh. And you're based in Hanoi. Why?
I think it's a simple reason. I and my family is live here. And I think in Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh, it's not important in Vietnam right now because you need only 1 or 2 hours to fly between the Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh. And I think that post-COVID-19, almost people, it's very easy to working via online. We can meet every founder and startup via Zoom or Google Meet and Microsoft team. And I think in Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh, it's not important without right now. I have planned to open a new office in Ho Chi Minh, but when for the 1 month to thinking about that, we removed the plan because we think the owner of the team member can working together in Hanoi, and we can fly monthly to Ho Chi Minh to have a meeting and some events, and we can have some visits to other portfolio is based in Ho Chi Minh right now. But we can spend the time to meet with some other portfolio or some of the new opportunity in Ho Chi Minh and Da Nang and something other countries in Hanoi.
Yeah. Which place would you say is like a tech hub? For example, I mean, there's also the Silicon Valley and things like that across the world, right? So would you say Hanoi is more like a tech hub or Ho Chi Minh?
I think it's the same. It's not much different right now.
Okay. So what were your interests growing up?
Yeah, since I was a child, so a little bit about myself, my father often took me along when I visit his business. And also, years later, as soon as I enrolled in the engineer program in one of the top one university of science and technology in Vietnam, and I found my first business for more than 13 years ago. There are many lessons was learned in the early days about foreign team problem and financial management. And at that time, I dropping out of university in my first year. I joined a startup applying a business model. It has been successful in the United States. Choose I bring this to the Vietnamese market, but we was existed about the idea. This product development went very well, but there was as a lesson. The success of the business is not guaranteed by its previous success, right?
Yeah.
Especially when the business is introduced to different markets. So after that, I have a CEO working in Microsoft as in a student partner to build the developer community who helped Microsoft to build a lot of application on Windows Phone Store. After that, I joined one fintech startup. It's named MoneyLover. Hope you know. MoneyLover was listed in the top 5 best application on Google Play Store.
Yeah.
And it's a best personal finance application.
Personal finance,
Yeah,
I've seen that.
Oh, nice. This time I got to apply the Lean Startup methodology with my team, and I keep moving to become, after that, to co-founder of TechAlist. It's a software as a service startup with the bigtime.vn and worktime.vn for the event organizer and for enterprise. And I have time to become CCO of Cowell Asia and it's an IT outsourcing company. At that time, you know, when it's an IT outsourcing company in Vietnam, it grew to providing service to Japan, United States, Australia, as well as some other countries. And we grew up over 400 staff in 2018. In terms of rules, so I gained experience in the managing a growing team, and I be with a team, another venture builder for fintech. His name Finite.
Yeah.
And I am a vice president and CPO, and I had opportunity to working with most engineer team and some very, very big corporate in Vietnam, like the banks and the financial organizations. And we provide the credit scoring, consumer lending core, and a solution for fintech.
Yeah.
And last year, you know, I and my team is starting on until now.
Yeah.
For for CEO.
Why become a VC? Why not just build us continue building startups or working with startups?
Why the VC? Because I think I had a lot of failed lessons. More than 10 years I working in startup ecosystem in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I and my team have a huge network with the founder. And more than 10 years I work for startup, and also I work for some big corporation in Vietnam, and we have a network with some the big corporate also. And I know the many the big corporate in Vietnam is thinking about how to invest to tech startup, but almost they don't know how to do. And it's why I think we can cut the gap between the finance resources from big corporate in Vietnam with the startup in Vietnam. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Quickly, just going back to your first business, it was like a English language training business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, you had difficulties, you know, implementing a different business model from a different market to Vietnam, what are the other challenges that you faced and then the lessons that you learned? Building that startup.
Yeah. Okay. It's not much to talk about the first business, but I think there's some the lesson I learned. It's more than 10 years I see it. At that time, many kids in Vietnam need learning English from experts and foreigners. And not many English centers at that time focused on that. And it's a simple reason I start. It's with my team, but many challenges for us and for myself. With the first time I found something. And some lesson to learn, I think, is about how you can control with the core foreign team, how you can build to, because when you start something at first, you think every you do is the best, but it's not true. It's I think that this fail is good. But finally, I think I got a huge benefit. It's many fail lessons for me and for other member in my team. And today, I think it's the founder in Vietnam is many incentive from other people who has a fail in the startup in Vietnam to learn.
Yeah. And also like learning English, right? So when I was working in India, I've seen a lot of people, because they knew English and they could really communicate well in English, they got a higher paycheck than people who did not know English well. So why do you think learning English is very important?
I think it's very important, everything, not only for startups. But I think I see when we invest to startup more than 3 years in Vietnam, I see some opportunity is flying. It's founder who cannot speak English very well, very hard to them to communicate with the global investor. You know, so many global investor and global venture capital come to Vietnam, and they want to, so they take more time to understand about the opportunity here. And I see some the foreign team is build the product is very good, the build the business is very good with a good traction.
Yeah.
But you know, almost the investor they invest to the people, not only the business model, right? And they need to very hard for investors to understand what they're talking about. And I think it's a challenge. And I think it's English is important for the startup in Vietnam. And it's why I think in the foreign team, we need at least one member to communicate English very well.
Yeah. When you compare your time, which was like 10, 13 years ago, and now, how do you compare yourself, like the founders that you see today and you like 10 years back?
Okay. Just today, I think they are stronger than me a lot and than my generation. It's more than 10 years ago, at that time, we worked hard to be trust to knowledge database as today. At that time, it's not many lessons we can find to learn from as a founder, as an investor, and as a channel, as a website, blog. Today, the founder in Vietnam and some other countries, I think the founder can have everything to learn and trying to apply to their startup to getting how it's good. And in Vietnam ecosystem has more than 100 venture capital joined to market, and because then the number less than at that time is less than maybe I think less than 10 venture capital 10 years ago.
Yes.
Very, very small. And in 10 years ago, the VC almost founder needs to spend a lot of time to find the right investor. It's not much to find. But right now it's many VC come here, easy to you to keep in touch with some the potential investor for you. And I think the most important in Vietnam, we has a generation we have experience about startup to rebuild another model. And you know, in Vietnam and in Southeast Asia, a lot of opportunity need a revolution. And invest in early stage is investing to the people, right?
Yeah.
And last but not least, is thinking about Vietnam market today. The infrastructure is very, very good. It's why I also share with some other investor come from global to Vietnam. Infrastructure in Vietnam right now is very good for startup. Like you can see the online payment is very popular.
Yeah.
User experience in the internet and use a smartphone a lot here. In the funding resources as well.
And also, I think the purchasing power of people or the per capita GDP has increased a lot, right? Significantly. So there is a lot more opportunity for consumer startups because people have more spending power.
Yeah, because every people have more than money. They have more money and they will spend money to improve their life. And you have many opportunity to build solution with the tech, with the technology, and you can build a nice product to sell it in the Vietnam and expand it to Southeast Asia market and maybe some other country in global. In our portfolio, we have some startup have a lot of revenues from Southeast Asia, Thailand, Malaysia, and some other portfolio. We provide the education platform to the user in Brazil, North America, and some other area in the world.
Yeah, I think that's also a great opportunity where there are like a lot of SaaS solutions for foreign markets, like especially everybody targets the US market.
Right.
So you mentioned earlier that, you know, one of the reasons you started ThinkZone is because you found a opportunity that a lot of these established businesses were trying to invest in startups. So I recently read that, you know, in the last the fund that you raised, the ThinkZone 2 fund, that most of your, I think all of your LPs are local Vietnamese LPs. You know, why is that important for you? And what are the advantages of having local LPs in your fund?
Yeah. One of the main important with us, I also talking and sharing with my friend, many investor will invest money to startup. And owner with investor will have the same thing in their pocket, it's the money.
Yeah.
So the investor needs more other thing. It's not only the money. So own investor, be it a foreign or local, it has money to invest to start up in Vietnam. But the founder don't just need the money. They also need other resources such as local knowledge. It's a customer channel and partnership to leverage their company. This is the key advantage of local Vietnamese LP to compare to the foreign LP. This is why we choose the strategy we talking almost of the local LP in Vietnam. The owner of LP back for the Thinh Duong Fund 2 is owned by a huge ecosystem in Vietnam. Having the huge business ecosystem in different vertical, we have, for example, we have IPA investment with great resources in about the finance, insurance, energy. They own the VN Direct, one of the top one security company in Vietnam. And we also have Phu Thai Holding, which is strong, which is stands in retail and distribution. And we also have Starvin Group in production and international commercial. One of the big players in Southeast Asia about the materials commercial in over the world. And our portfolio startup can greatly leverage their growth from their business synergies with their LP. The both local and globally, I think it's very the right now I'm very proud about their strategy to leverage their resources from local LP. And it's moreover with the support from IPA investment, and talk about the IPA investments, an experienced player in Vietnam public market, the Thinh Duong Fund 2, we can foster startup to from seed round to exit with leverage M&A. And another option is IPOs in Vietnam, in the local market here.
Yeah.
And with a huge local resources from LP, the Thinh Duong, I think we believe it will prime to provide a significant added value to for local startup and making it an idea additions to any the potential investment deals joined by other foreign VC, because we think we. The Thinh Duong is local VC, and we will be a friend with many global LP to co-invest to bring more than resources. What the global VC want from another co-investor in Vietnam, and using the Vietnam dong as a show investment currency, a local venture capital firm can deploy its fund with the better timing and flexible investment in the structure use.
Okay. Okay. What about these LPs or these large corporations? So on top of the return on investment of the capital, why do you think they are interested in investing in startups?
Yes. One of the most important for the Thinh Duong Fund 2 is not about the financial return. We want to invest to startup and invest with a foreign team who want to make a huge impact to the social network and socials in Vietnam.
Yeah.
It's why we almost talking about how when we met a foreign team, we almost talk about how we will impact to the 100 million people that live in Vietnam and also the people living over the world. And but you know, we can raise the fund if not talking about the incentive. But firstly, the investing to a tech startup also serve as an extended arm for the traditional business to innovate themselves without having to do heavy R&D and build everything from scratch. The partnership with start also help them to keep up the market movements, quickly expand to the new market and secure their sustainable growth. But putting the money in reliable global fund, they can also optimize the portfolio management cost and efficiently. You know, the owners of the traditional corporate is hard to build the innovations. It's very hard from the internal resources. It's why I advise for some the big corporate in Vietnam need think about innovation with the investing to startup. And besides, all of the Thinh Duong LP are notable entrepreneurs who has decades of experience and achieved great success. They share the same vision with us to how to build a new generation of Vietnamese startup and Vietnamese entrepreneurs that can succeed in global market and see a reflection of themselves many years ago in ourselves. Powder with the passion they, they really want to pay it forward and utilize the huge resources they have to help the startup. And it's my point of view from our LP and something we share each other when we contribute to the Tingdong Fund too.
Okay. So yeah, now I'd like to know more about your accelerator, Tingzone Accelerator. So I read that. So my understanding is that your USP is that you will continue to support the startups for the next two funding rounds or up to 3 years after your 3 months program. So a couple of things, right? When I read about the accelerator, it's mentioned that you choose like 5 startups at a time. So why just a small number of startups?
I think before the Tingzone is found, the owner of the as an accelerator in Vietnam, they choose from 8 to 10 or maybe more per batch in to support. But you know, almost startup in Vietnam is quite early. And if you need to be a huge resource if you want to support a lot per in the limited time, in our investment test, it is clearly accompany the startup. We don't just put money in and wait for the growth. You know, but if you want to play a very active role in every startup, we invest to help them to grow. We keep check the startup growth progress every month. We connect them with the mentor, with the partner, with the support put in our network. And we help them to set a fundraising strategy. We spend a lot of time with them when they join the accelerator best. And we help them to fundraising strategy. We prepare the pitch deck with them, prepare the data room, and we prepare the connect with the investor. You know that we organize many investment days in Vietnam to connect our portfolio to with a investor network from not only in Vietnam. Almost the venture capital come to investment day in Tingzone from global market. I remember last year, the Tingzone investment day hit more than 154 venture capital came to the workshop. And with the level of engagement, we cannot invest too many startups at a time. It's a why reason we choose maximum 5 startups to join a batch. And I think it's our help and our performance when we achieve the significant growth. And this then we can follow our investment in their next funding round. And about the DD process, in 1 month, we intend to keep the fundraising progress as quick as possible. It's why still try to have an accurate assessment of the startup. And you know, as early stage, one important we focus about the founding team and about the business model is only if the founding team is very committed and they have experience before, and the founder has to spend too much time to fundraising is not good at the early days. It's why we try to optimize the time we make the decision to invest to a startup in 1 month.
Yeah, so why is that? I mean, why do you take 1 month to do your due diligence? Because, you know, let's say if you were to compare to Y Combinator or something, you just mentioned that it's about the team. So then why have a 1 month process? For example, if you were to compare to Y Combinator, it's just 10 minutes, no?
Yeah, it's a good question for us. We, at right now, we try to how to reduce the time to decide for to the who is start to enjoy the accelerator. But we spend 1 month I think it's the feasible range for start to prepare something to send to us and try to explain about their business model. And we quite conservative when to join a deal. But you know, in Vietnam, the thing that we can put not only money to startup, and I think it's opportunity to join is very important with Tingzone. And it's why we, in per year, we often organize 2 batches per year. And around we will invest from early days at the pre-seed accelerator stage, around 5 to 10 team. to join the kingdom. And we need to spend a lot of effort to working with them. And it's why we're very conservative to join when we join any deals.
Yeah. So if you look at the financial returns of venture capital, right, it follows the power law, right? Doesn't it make sense from a financial point of view to invest in more number of startups because you're taking more bets, right?
Yes, but I think we don't need to bring and we don't need to be on a lot of deals. We need to invest and support to staff who we can understand and who we can put the value from ThinkZone to them. Because I think it's important for a startup. And about the side from startup, they also need to find the right investor who can help them from early day. Not only the money. It is the main thesis from ThinkZone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when you assess a startup, what is your expectations? Do you expect all of them to be like reasonably big sized businesses or do you expect failures?
When we working with any startup, is the first important we help the startup can make the huge impact to the mass market. It's one that's important.
Yeah.
In the second, the ThinkZone, when we invest from the accelerator to Series A, when we invest to startup in accelerator, we hope them can find the product market fit. After that, the ThinkZone, we can invest more than money and help and spend a lot of effort to help them in 3 or 4 of next 5 years with the huge resources from us, not only money. About the money, we can invest up to $10 million to start in a port accelerator step. And it's why we're looking and learn a lot from Y Combinator and Sequoia and some other fun adventure also. And I think they are the king, I think they can learn a lot from them.
Yeah. Are there many other accelerators in Vietnam? And so if you remember, like after Y Combinator started, then a lot of people started accelerator. Vast majority of them shut down. So are there many other accelerators in Vietnam? And is the accelerator model still relevant according to
you? Yeah, I see. It's a big problem. In Vietnam, since 2 years ago, with some accelerator and incubator is shut down too. It's the same with another country over the world. Not with not as scary about the Y Combinator and some other, because they very, very good. But the ThinkZone, you know, the ThinkZone is far from 3 years ago with the first bus, and we still grow and relevant with startup in early day. It's because I think almost start in Vietnam is quite early, and I and my team in this scene more than 10 years ago, my experience is founder and not need only money. And one of the important for the accelerator in Vietnam and in another country is focused about the support value. The first pocket to put to startup is very important. The challenge for the program builder is how to bring the right value and quick founder need with the reasonable cost and keep following with portfolio in the port accelerator state. It's why we has planned for a bigger fund from starting day. And you know, we create the ThinkZone fund too as in the plan.
Yeah. And what about government policies? I mean, I've read something about you working with government to on startup and investment policies. So how do you think government policies can help both startups and also VCs?
Yeah, good question. And it very relates to us. There's several different regarding public policy to be sure. Firstly, almost Vietnam has an official the legal framework for the establishment and operation of venture capital called Decree 38. And there's been a shortcoming. For example, it's unclear the policy for investment instruments that are relatively new to Vietnam and high marginal about the gain tax, the capital gain tax for the investor. And just list by to the fact in more new form the venture capital fund to an easier path to establish their entity outside Vietnam, mainly in Singapore, you know, and to enjoy the favorable investment incentive and and avoid the regulatory roadblock. Moreover, not only the VC, it's also the same with the startup in Vietnam right now. All of them have a holding, a Singapore in the Singapore. The moreover, the updated public policy has kept up with the raising of market trend and the business model also as well. You know, cryptocurrency, metaverse, and many areas in fintech has been clearly regulated here. I think this spell has read from both founder and investor operating in this vertical. And it's why you can see in the newspaper, the ThinkZone and Deloitte in the Big Four, and the Street Entrepreneur Program and some other the big law firm in Vietnam and in over the world, for example, Dun & Moritz and Indochine Council has formed a syndicate as an alliance. We very active work with the ministry in Vietnam. Our goal is to collective voice of the experienced stakeholder in startup ecosystem to provide the policy maker with the industry insight and we can suggest a suitable policy to improve the legal framework here. Because we and some other players, we invest to startup more than, right now things don't have more than 20 portfolio, and we enjoy, I think it's a lot of deals in Vietnam, and we can share the real story with the ministry. And I think the good news right now, the ministry in Vietnam and some people working in the government, they understand about the problem, and they very, very active to hear the real player and keep to spend a lot of effort to how we can improve to help the investor and founder in Vietnam can have a very good environment to grow.
One other thing that I wanted to ask was like the exit landscape in Vietnam right now. So a lot of people say that you need a lot of mergers and acquisitions, and also you need a lot of angels investing in a lot of startups for like the ecosystem to like really accelerate. So how is that right now in Vietnam?
Yeah, you can see the some landscape about the Vietnam ecosystem, and they share about the also about the M&A deals happening. And I have discussed with some the old venture capital here, like IDG Vietnam. You know, one IDG is the first care venture capital to come to Vietnam with a lot of money to invest to early technology company in Vietnam. And in the past few years, we are seeing more big corporations interest to invest in M&A with startups. It's very good news. And as I said, the investing in M&A with a tech startup will have the traditional business to innovate faster without having to build everything from scratch by their own. The partnership with startup also helps them to keep up with the market movement. And you can see that they can quickly expand to the new market and increase their lifetime value user of their traditional business and secure their sustainable growth. So some promising M&A case, you can see the APT, they bought the Bay.vn, right?
Okay.
And Momo is one of the big startup in Vietnam, the unicorn by the e-wallet. The Momo is bought Nhanh.vn, and they will surely be more in the future. And I heard some other deal from one of the big gig corporations in Vietnam. It bought the company, bought a startup, for example, in the fintech, in the education. And also they try to co-invest with the venture capital in the some portfolio. It's a good news. You can exist with the snake round, not exit own their share. About the angel investor, there are many community as well as individual angel investor across Vietnam. A large amount of number of startups we've met already received angel investment in their private round. And as a last, you can you know the thing don't be backed by the IPA investment. It's one of the big LP in our fund. And at IPA, you have a lot of experience about the stock markets because they have one of the portfolio of IPA is BN Direct, it's the biggest security company in Vietnam. And they are working to how to build an environment for stock can be IPO not only in another country. They can IPO in Vietnam in near future.
Yeah.
It's our vision to do.
Things on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Do, thank you so much for taking the time to record the podcast. This was fun.
Yeah, it was quite fun.
If you like this podcast, please follow Understanding VC wherever you're listening to this and also share it with folks who might be interested. Thank you.